Today we're diving into the one no that changes our entire life, that shifts from negative to positive. There's this magic moment that can change whether or not you go into a very negative spiral, get into a bad mood, do some crazy thing, or go in a positive direction. So that's what we're getting into today, because each one of us throughout our day has thousands and thousands, if not millions, of micro moments where we can either go one way or another way. And depending on which way we go, our day either gets better or it gets worse. If we allow certain thoughts to happen, they connect to other thoughts and then things start getting out of hand. And I'm sure you've noticed in yourself, especially with addictions, that once it starts its little process, it's very hard to stop it once it's reached a certain point. So this is what we're diving into today, and this is an extremely important topic. So get ready. Ding, ding, ding. This is one of those big topics.
No, tell us about it, Michael. Tell us.
So one of the things I learned when I started doing meditation years and years ago from my meditation teacher at the time is he said, when we are going about our day, we have all these thoughts, we have all these things that we're doing, and there are certain like negative patterns that we all have, whether you call them the vices or just bad habits or whatever it is, right? And so like you've seen the angel on one shoulder, devil on the other shoulder kind of thing, right? So that we come across these situations and the devil says, just do it. It's going to be great. You'll be fine, right? You should do this thing. You need this thing, right? And the angel says, no, that's not a good idea, right? This is going on all day long, actually, in different situations. And in that moment, we have this really tiny, 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 tiny window where we are capable of listening to the angel and saying no. And if we do it at that moment, then we basically won the game, right? It doesn't go down that road and we can regroup ourselves and go in a different, healthier direction. If we don't say no and it carries on in that old habit, it just moves in that direction until it plays itself out. That's the cycle of addictions. There's a trigger, and then the thoughts start coming, the emotions start coming, and there's this thing, I need to take action, I need to like fulfill my need, whatever it is. Then we act out, whatever it is, like eating or whatever it is. And then we say to ourselves, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm such a bad person. Why did I do that? And then it comes up again and just goes round and round and round and round and round. So the only way to break this is there has to be a no in there somewhere. And ultimately, a lot of spiritual work is that kind of micro magic moment where right. Instead of saying, yes, I'm going to act out, I'm going to say no. And it's not necessarily just the word no itself. There's different ways of saying it. So here's some things that I personally have found helpful is instead of saying, let's say, for example, like one thing, one of my sort of more savory, unhealthy, but not good things that I do is eat toast, right? Which I'm sure some people will say, what is wrong with toast, Michael? Seriously, right?
I know, like, right? Come on.
I know. I mean, stop giving you, but I'm just giving an example, right? So I'm like,
if eating toast is your worst problem,
it's my worst problem, then I'm doing all right. I'll give another, like sugar, right? So right here, I have a bowl of cherries. I don't know if you can see that, a bowl of cherries, right? So I went to the
what
gym.
What is
yesterday.
Wrong with eating cherries? Something is wrong with eating toast, but what's wrong with eating cherries?
This is just an example, okay? So I went to the gym yesterday. This is an example
okay, I can
of me
understand
failing,
if
right?
you don't eat 10 bars of chocolate. But I cannot I cannot support you on eating cherries and something's wrong with it.
This is the example though. We're going to, because this happened yesterday, right? So I went to the gym and and I'm getting back into to more exercise. And my trainer said, look, just, you know, if you want to build muscle and all this stuff, you want to cut the carbs and up the protein, which is classic advice for that sort of work, right? So I went to the store and I said, okay, I'm going to buy protein, you know, vegan protein and low carb vegetables. So I walked, and I had literally had that in my mind. I walked in there, so I'm going to get these, and immediately the first thing I saw was these cherries, right? And they haven't been in season. And first thing I did is I just grabbed the cherries and put them straight in my car. The very first thing that went in my car was a bag of cherries. I mean, end of the day, like the reason this is not that big a deal, because it's not going to kill me having cherries, right? But that's an example of where I had a thought and I immediately did the opposite.
This is an example of just being too extreme.
I mean, it could be that, but the point is that this happens
oh, my brother.
In so
cherries,
many different
really?
Ways. It's just an I just noticed it happening yesterday, and I thought that was quite funny. I'm only going to buy protein and vegetables, and I immediately grabbed the cherries. So when that's a fairly minor thing, obviously, right? It's not a big deal. Otherwise, I would be more disturbed about this. I like cherries. The thing that comes up is more like negative thoughts about other people, the five vices, anger, lust, greed, attachment, you know, getting irritated. These are the more serious things that take a little bit longer to deal with. And so what I've found is that initially I would beat myself up about it, or I would be in denial that it was even happening when I started my spiritual practice. So the first thing is I would just suppress it. I'm like, this isn't happening to me. And then I would act out some unhealthy behavior without even acknowledging that I did it. Because
right,
I think that's kind
right.
of what a lot, it's like that didn't even happen. I'm sort of go unconscious. And then you think, oh, you know, I'm all good. Because you can't deal with the fact that there's a double standard happening. And that's not a good way to deal with it, obviously, because it's not resolving anything. And
yeah.
Then I would perhaps beat myself up. Oh, why did I do that thing? I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't want that. I shouldn't need that, whatever it is, right? So that's like a denial of what is again. So these are all suppression methods. And then what started helping me was talking and listening to people who've been on the path for longer. And one of the things that someone said, I can't remember who it was, he said his response was, oh, there you are again, right? Like talking to an old, so instead of it being like, I'm denying this or I'm beating myself up about it, it changed to, oh, there you are again, hello again. It's like, when the pattern comes up, there's a certain detachment from it that isn't taking it too personally. And I found that very helpful, actually. Just, oh hello, that's interesting.
Watching
right? So there's
it
like
neutrally,
a curiosity.
Right? Like watching
right.
it neutrally.
Going, oh. Right.
Yeah, going, that's oh, helped hello. A lot for me, too, watching my vices play out very neutrally, not mm-hmm. saying, oh, bad, bad, mm-hmm. bad, bad, just very neutrally mm-hmm. say, oh, okay, you're there, good.
Hello, there it is.
Let me just let you be there. But
okay.
I like this idea you were saying about that a lot of our spiritual path is about these very micro moments where we can say no. Recently, I was witnessing two of my friends talking. And now, of course, they're on a spiritual path. But before, they were saying that before, they would do something that they know that they would feel guilty about. And they know that they're going to feel guilty about it. But still, they would just do it. It's like something would compel them to do something. Like even though they know mm-hmm. they're going to be guilty about it. Like, you know, like drink too much. Know that the next morning they're not going to like themselves for drinking too much, but they still just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting that... If you know, right? If you know you're doing something and then you're still doing it, somehow there is a self-punishment, self-sabotage mechanism going on, right? That, and you have to watch why this self-sabotage is going on. Why am I self-sabotaging?
It's a coping mechanism, isn't it? There's a comfort. I mean, we're kind of delving into the area of addiction, basically, at this point. I mean, this wasn't... You can't really talk about this no thing without dealing with addiction, because that's the devil on the shoulder saying, give me my stuff. And so whenever we act out any addiction, whether it's, you know, there's such a long range. There's obviously cell phone, internet, and then there's all the different drugs, sex, gambling, people. It's like a long, long, long list of addictions, right? All the 12-step groups. Every single one of them is a coping mechanism to come into a different state. But that's why it's there, isn't it? So let's say I'm feeling emotionally unsettled, right? And eating food makes me feel more relaxed. Then I can just go in the kitchen and get a bunch of ice cream out of the freezer and just eat away at it. And then I'm full, and then I feel, okay, everything's fine. But then later on, why did I eat that? My stomach hurts. So, but we have to have compassion that the reason that happened in the first place is because we were feeling something that we didn't like to feel, and we didn't have a better method to feel better.
Right.
And so
right. That
was, it's a proven method. You know, I did it before and it worked last time, so I'm just going to do it again.
Right, right. Like, it could be also be like, let's take alcohol, right? Since we're talking about addiction. Someone, at a certain point in my life, I used to have a lot of people, I used to know a lot of people who were going through this 12-step program. And they, like lots of friends, and then they used to tell me that, you know, alcohol is not like you like it. Like, you don't drink alcohol because you like it. You're drinking it because you're numbing your pain about something. And right. that's the method, you know, that's the poison you've chosen to numb your pain. And so they would tell me that in recovery, this is what they were told all the time in recovery. So let's say there are certain times during the day you're drinking, right? And you need to find out what those times are. And let's say you don't know what to do with yourself. Let's say you just put the clothes in the washer and then you have a few moments and you're like, you know, don't know what to do with yourself. So this was an exact, actually, example this person was giving me, that in that moment is you need to tell yourself that no, right? That mm-hmm. no needs to happen in that moment, because previously it was, oh, let me go get a drink.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, not only should it be a no, but there has to be a redirect, I feel. What else am I doing? Because if I don't exactly. have a redirect, if I don't have a established redirect to this kind of behavior, the no is not going to be enough. I will do it, and then I'll be like, oh, I did, you know, did it. But if there is a no, and then there is a gentle redirect, I think that's that true. Would
it
really
help. It needs to
help.
Be both.
Right.
Yeah, it can't just be no. It's no and. So I was give an example of someone I was working with recently, and she had negative thinking patterns where she just get into a bad state because complaining, and this isn't working, and this isn't working, and it just goes down this thing, and then she's in a state of despair, basically. And so what method I gave her, which she's been using, it works really well, is to say, even though this thing has come up, which could be like, even though the addiction's there, even though I'm hungry, even though I'm feeling this thing, here's something else. And I gave her different thoughts to think specifically for her based on her situation. Even though this is good, this is good, this is good, and do these other thing. So the reason I'm giving this example is that it starts here, and normally it goes in a dark way down there like this. But we're taking where it starts and we're putting it in a new direction so that that initial trigger can connect to something positive over here. So even though I'm feeling this thing and I want to eat loads of pizzas or whatever, I love myself and I'm going to do this other thing instead. Because if we don't do that, what other choice have we got than to repeat it? And this is happening in the brain as well. This isn't just like in our head. Our actual body becomes physically addicted to all kinds of things. So the body's going, give me my stuff. You know, like anyone who's tried to overcome any addiction, they know that there's like an actual feeling around it. So there's two things going on here. Is how do you say no to yourself in the nicest way possible? And then how do you come out of it so that it doesn't keep going in that direction? And a couple of things that I find helpful is to have other ways of saying no. So for example, one that works really well for me is I say to myself, boring, boring, right? Boring.
Wait, like let's take this cherries example. As soon as you see the cherries, you'll be like boring.
Boring, boring, boring. Yeah, because it's like the part of my brain is like, I mean, so to be honest, cherries are hardly a big problem. I could do without the cherries, right?
But you like, were the I one who brought up the topic.
It was just an example of...
It's just an example of going extreme, but go ahead.
I just thought it was funny that I went in the store. I'm just getting protein and I immediately grabbed cherries. But that's because it doesn't matter that much to me, actually. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have done it. But let's say I'm wanting to distract myself Scroll. On the internet, which is yes. more of a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the unconscious thing is, let me just avoid whatever I'm dealing with and just look at some random stuff to distract myself. But if I think in my head, boring, 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 but then it actually changes my feeling. Because to be honest, most of these addictive behaviors actually are quite boring, really, because it's the same old thing again and again. It doesn't have any real value. It's just, you know, I mean, once you've done something enough times, it's like, it actually is boring on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that just saying boring, boring, it just makes it feel boring. I'm like, why haven't I got time for this nonsense? And I just chuck it aside. So it's reframing something that part of our psyche is like, I want that thing, to this is super boring. You know, because we don't normally do things that we're bored about.
Absolutely.
And then there's this new fun thing that I would do instead. Another one that helps is to say to ourselves, I don't want that. To actually say it directly. I don't want that thing. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't choose that. To actually like reinforce, I don't want that. Because we've got this little magic moment, right, where we can make a decision. Am I going to go in this direction or this direction? So we have to have something that, like, cuts through the pattern.
Absolutely.
And gets right to it. So boring works for me. That's uh-huh. interesting works for me. And I don't want that. I'm not interested. You can use your own terms, but those general things, I'm not beating myself up, I'm not denying it, I'm not pretending it isn't happening. I'm saying I don't want it, I don't like it, and it's boring.
Right.
That is enough to expand that window of pattern-based addictive behaviors.
Mm.
And then we have to do something different.
You know what really helps me in these situations where I'm doing something? I used to do a lot of it, is mirror meditations. I would go in front of the mirror and meditate. So for example, let's say I'm scrolling a lot, right? Any moment I get, you know, not spending time with my family, this and that, I'm just keep scrolling. that, let's say that is my behavior, right? And so the mirror meditation can be any time, and it can even be 1 minute, right? So you go in front of the mirror and you see yourself opposite of that. You see yourself someone who's very engaged with life. You see yourself someone who is really doing high quality things, not just wasting your time doom scrolling. And you see yourself as a soul, and you really see yourself doing those things, other things, right? Just other things, right? Like going out into nature, spending time with your family, putting your phone away. You see yourself and you keep reinforcing this seeing, right? You see yourself as a soul, and then you see yourself doing these things. It really helps.
It really does. It's good to have various different things to do instead of. And one thing I've personally found helpful is to write a list. You know, if I'm wanting to do this unhealthy behavior, what are my other options specifically to actually write them down? I actually have something on my over there in the kitchen just to remind, because if sometimes I'm, my biggest problem I would say is wasting my time on the internet, because I get tired and I'm like, I'm just going to check this thing. So I have,
and
a
then this thing turns into an hour,
and then I'm like, yeah, and then it turns into an hour, and then it turns into 2 hours, and then I'm like, what happened to the day? And then I beat myself. So I'm like, okay, so in that moment I need to say, boring, I'm not interested. Get away from the thing. This is another thing that's important. If you're in it, like if someone's addicted to alcohol, they shouldn't be surrounded by a full bar.
Yes, absolutely. They shouldn't be walking into bars, and they shouldn't be surrounded by a bar.
Yeah, they open the fridge and there's loads of beers and wines and all sorts of stuff, and there's liquor bottles. That's not going to help very well, is it? Because it's just right there. So you want to actually get rid of the opportunity to do these things. That solves half the problem. And then we say, this is boring. I love myself. I don't need this. And instead, I'm going to do this new thing. And ideally make that new thing something that's easy to do and is quite rewarding as quickly as possible. Because the thing with addictions is they give instant rewards, otherwise we wouldn't do them. You know, normally any kind of addictive behavior has some chemical effect very quickly, especially drugs and alcohol and things like that. It's like boom. So if you're doing something like meditation, it takes a bit more to get into it relative to like cocaine, let's say, if you compare the two, meditation on one side and heroin on the other. Is
why
there
not?
Something that you can
That's
do
a
that would
natural
be,
comparison. Let's do it.
Natural comparison, exactly. It's like you could do a line of coke or you can do an hour meditation. What's it going to be, you know? So what can you do that's something that is going to hit the spot fairly quickly instead of the other thing? Because and there's lots of, you know, you have to think about this for yourself. Everyone's different, whether it's, you know, going out or listening to music or reading a book or calling someone up or whatever, right? You know yourself better. So we can't just go cold turkey and then have this void, because it will end up being filled with the usual stuff fairly quickly. So this is, and it's good to come up with a plan, just see, because we all know ourselves after a while, right? We all know what, when things happen, when they go wrong, what the usual thing is. So we can plan this out. Normally what's going to happen is this, this, and this. But instead of that, I'm now coming up with this new schedule. It's boring. That other thing's boring. I don't like it. And I'm going to do this. And to be perfectly honest, if it's a serious addiction you're talking about, you probably want to get help from somebody who can, you can check in with, because it's hard to get out of serious things all on your own.
Yeah. 12-step programs really work.
Yeah. 12-step. And some people don't like them for various reasons. And there's other versions of the 12-step that, for whatever reason, people don't like those. They're the same sort of thing, but different. But we definitely need help with big changes in our life.
You so know this.
So if you have
thing,
that one
right,
thing,
yeah. This thing, what you're saying is this moment where you have a impulse, and then you act on that impulse. You have to make that choice point at that time, right? You have to keep observing. You have to keep, you know, narrowing it down and shining a light on that point, that choice point, right? This is the impulse I have, and what is the choice I'm making in this impulse? And you can actually, you know, see yourself doing it, right? See yourself. And sometimes I feel like neuro-linguistic programming techniques sometimes really work, right? Like you see yourself reacting. You see yourself at that choice point and you see yourself going this way. And you can really pull yourself back and say, no, that's the point. Let me stretch that point and actually now let me go this way. Even though 2 days ago I went this way, which was not good for me, let me stretch that point and see myself going this way. You keep seeing yourself going in another direction, in a more positive direction. And that no, when it finally comes to that point again, you will say no.
That's right. You know, one NLP method is related to this is that you would imagine doing the thing that normally is like the addictive behavior and you play it over and over and over again, black and white and grainy. There's a bit of a process to this, but you want to reframe it so that it seems nasty and boring and unpleasant to you. And you can even imagine like the negative feelings that come with it or some annoying music that goes with this. You're imagining that scene happening from a distance in a very unpleasant way. So when you think about doing it, what comes up emotionally is, oh dear, that's just boring and nasty and I don't like it. I genuinely don't like it. So that when we're in real life and we're going through our day and it comes up in that moment, that inner work of reframing it over and over and over again comes to our awareness and we go, no, I really don't want to do that anymore. Like that's not cool with me. I'm not interested. So then there's that real shift where we honestly don't care anymore. We don't want to do it. And then we can sincerely say no, because it's in us that we don't like that anymore. These are very deep things we're getting into today, actually. I wasn't quite planning on going into this heavy-duty addiction discussion, but that's basically where it ended up, isn't it? So
all because you thought cherries were a bad idea.
Oh, cherries. I mean, oh my God. God, who? I don't know if anyone else has any cherries. It's first cherries I bought this year, even. But I mean, sometimes in the summer when it's proper cherry season, I do buy like 10 bags or maybe six bags of cherries and have massive bowls of them because it's cherry season, you know, and then they runs out and I can't have them for a year. So, but there are worse problems than eating cherries, I think.
Really, Michael? That's so horrible.
Maybe.
How could you?
I know.
How could you?
Think about the cherries. Think about those poor cherries.
Think about those poor cherries.
Those poor cherries that you ate. Oh my God, what do they think about this? Yeah, so yeah, if cherry addiction is the biggest thing we got going on, that's not too bad.
Are you sure?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, think about the cherries. Those poor cherries. It's a fun and games. We have to laugh at ourselves, see it from a distance, and have patience, because some of these things, they're ground in. Getting someone away from their cherries is harder than it sounds.
Getting ourselves, no? We have to first understand. I mean, let's take the ridiculous example of cherries out of the picture. Let's take alcohol. Oh, let's take even saying no to people. like let's say no to something that is really pulling you down, right? Like you hanging out with someone is really pulling you down and you have to say no, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that just by force of habit, you say yes and this and that, right? But even at that point, you need to understand, you have to like have a different value for yourself, right? There has to be a different amount of self-respect, whether it is saying no to alcohol or saying no to people misusing you and abusing you or any of those things, right? There has to be a certain amount of self-respect. And so you have to start building your self-respect up. You know, I am a good person. I am a beautiful soul. I'm worthy of love. God loves me. All of these things. You start building yourself up. And when you build yourself up, then you have the strength to say no. You know, whether it's bad company or bad habits or bad company is even worse, I feel, because company does everything for you, right? Because of company, a lot of things happen or don't happen in your life because of company. And so if you keep on keeping bad company, then it will affect you. And if you don't know how to say no to bad company, that's going to affect you.
That's a game changer, yeah. One of the easiest ways to get out of an addiction or bad habit is to hang around with people who don't have it or have overcome it. Because their presence has a positive effect. And related to this self-respect is it's very important to have standards, to know what our standards actually are for ourselves. Because the reason I gave the cherry example is because I invented a standard for myself, like on my way from the gym to the health food store, which is a period of like maybe less than a mile. So I come up with this new standard for myself all of a sudden. And then I arrived in the health food store and I immediately broke my standard because it wasn't like a real standard that I actually really had. So like I immediately just was like, whatever. But if we don't know what our standards are, then how can we decide whether we should do something or not do something? You know, so like if your standard is I only eat these sorts of foods, then at least know what they are and what you have and what you don't have. If you say I drink or I don't drink, what does that actually look like? Because in the moment, we can only really make a serious decision on whether it's a yes or a no based on standards that we've come up with before that, right? We don't just on the fly come up with our conscience and come up with our standards for life. These are things that we, based on our belief system, based on our different ideas around what a lifestyle we want to have is or what's good for us. So what are those standards? You know, what is your ideal standard for yourself?
Yay, that thought. We do a blessing?
Yeah, there it is.
There it is. So let's pick a random page. So this blessing, divine viewers, listeners, this blessing is directly coming from God to you. I'm picking a random page.
Go for it.
Okay. Random page. Constancy. Your presence is a source of healing and guidance. Every single day, you commit yourself to spiritually replenishing your strength. Your commitment has become a beacon in your life, guiding you through even the most challenging times.
That's beautiful. One of the most remarkable things is to do what we say we're going to do, isn't it? Be consistent. Thank you, Shireen. Om Shanti. Yay.